Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
It's remarkable news, really, and it's really got you going 5-1-5-1, barring some last-minute upset. A joint Irish-UK bid to host the 2028 European Football Championship finals will be the only option on the table when the deadline passes tomorrow. A successful bid will likely see one quarter of the matches played on this island. But what benefits are there for Ireland and for the game of football from hosting the Euros? Well, with me now is the Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac.
An awful lot of people are texting us their views, and I'll get to that in just a second. But can I discuss with you the how this plays out now tomorrow? Let's say we are the only bid on the table, this joint bid between Ireland and the UK. What happens then? Does that mean that it's awarded to us and we start preparing?
So thanks for having me on, Cormac. So just to say, the government today is supporting the expression of interest and the bidding process now for Euro 2028. And I think it's very positive that we've got a really strong north-south dimension to this as well. So as you've said, at the moment, it's likely that it could be the only bid, but that isn't confirmed yet. We won't know until the bidding process finishes tomorrow and there'll be an announcement of the only bidder or all the bidders on the 5th of April. And then there's a one-year process, which there's an intensive bid process with UEFA. They'll publish a bid book, which will go through all of the elements A to Z on how this could be hosted. And that will conclude in April of 2023.
But that's merely a formality, Minister. Is that right? If we're the only bid and it's awarded to us, we're going through the hoops in a way there. We're planning for it, we're preparing for it, and it's only a matter of doing the work before we actually get it. Is that right?
It would be. Look, yeah. I mean, if we're the only bid on the table, then I think it'll be really positive.
So it's
exciting
for an awful lot of people then, isn't it? Who want to bring this. What's the rationale behind supporting the bid then?
Well, it's the second biggest event in the world. I think there's massive economic benefits. We've had Deloitte doing an analysis of this. There could be between 300 and 6 million of direct and indirect spend in Ireland if this event comes here. 147,000 fans from outside of the UK and Ireland potentially travelling to our country, and the huge regional benefits that'll have across our island. And also the tourism benefits, to see hundreds of thousands of fans coming here, but also hundreds of millions watching matches, being able to see and view Ireland and the huge opportunities that brings for our island. And as I've said,
so many benefits. It's amazing other countries don't want it then.
Well, many of them often do. I mean,
but not
some countries,
on this occasion, like.
Well, yeah, if you take France, for example, they had in a post analysis of their Euro 2016, it had an economic value of 1.2 billion euro to their economy. So in terms of return of investment and the economic rationale for this for Ireland is massive.
Yeah, but that wasn't a joint bid though, no. That was just France, isn't that right?
Yeah, no, that was France, but that's what I'm saying.
Deloitte cost-benefit analysis, 306 million of what now? What does that mean exactly?
300 to 600 million of direct or indirect spend would be here, and the net value would be between 180 and 290 million euros.
So and how much would it cost?
So the costs are predominantly around current costs on the particular year that it will be hosted. So as you know, in terms of we've had a significant investment over many years in our two major stadia in the Aviva and Croke Park. So there'd be limited costs there, maybe compared to other countries that mightn't be able to front load that investment. Mm-hmm. So the predominant cost is actually around security and policing. And then there's other costs like establishing fan zones. There might be additional specifications to stadia, but they'd be minor costs. And there's no tournament or staging fee. So really it's about as I said, security and policing is the major cost.
So that's really fascinating. So is the GAA is on board then?
The GAA have had engagement with the FAI on this, and I know they've had positive early discussions. That's correct.
Okay, so they're not really confirmed yet. What happens if they're not on board?
Well, I think they have had positive discussions. Obviously, there'll be a collaborative process now over the next year around working through the detail, and I'm positive that that the GAA have had many other major events in Croke Park. Yeah. And I know to bring such a major event to our island
wouldn't it, the major event on the GAA calendar during 2028, because this falls right in the middle of the championship, doesn't it?
Well, that's why the working through about what games will be hosted on what particular days, that have to be strong collaboration between the GAA and the FAI. And I know they have had discussions already, and the GAA have been positively disposed initially. And they'll have to continue that over the next 12 months to work through the practicalities about what matches fall on what particular days. But I think this has huge potential for our island. As I said, the north-south dimension, the fact that Northern Ireland will be able to host events, and the potential for our island, as you said, over 20% of matches hosted here.
So you'd prefer to see England versus Ireland or England versus Wales in Croke Park as opposed to the Dubs doing six in a row in 2028?
Well, I'd love to see the Dubs getting back on a run, or indeed.
But that's the reality, isn't it, Minister?
County Mayo, where my parents are from, where they're still waiting for that All Ireland. But no, look, I that's where they'll have to be. I think obviously the GAA, we've a lot of time to work through the tournament schedule, and I think it's not a case of pitching one.
One
schedule against the other. No, but they'll have to work through. Like, it could be a case that the Croke Park could have maybe one or two matches and the Aviva could host the vast majority of them. But the FAI and the GAA will have to work through that.
Could we have England playing here?
There hasn't been, obviously all teams will have to qualify, so it's a matter for qualification in the first instance.
There's no faith in England. But let's say that they do qualify, and you saw what happened, and you mentioned security, that would be a cost. You saw what happened in Wembley with a small minority, it has to be said, in fairness to English fans, that the vast majority of them are fantastic people and fans, but there was that element in Euro 2020, and despite the extensive intelligence they had at their disposal at Wembley and the state-of-the-art CCTV system they had, the huge numbers of police and the riot squads and the mounted police, hooligans still broke barriers down, and it was very, very lucky that nobody was killed there. I mean, we would have to invest hugely. Would it be in Gorda Síochána or a private security operation that would run the security at these games?
Oh, but it would predominantly, like, obviously the Gardaí are involved in all the, whether it's even major tournament or major games that we have on at the moment, the Gardaí are centrally involved, obviously around policing, and that's why the majority of the cost, in fact, around the hosting is around policing. But obviously that is an important element. It's important we protect fans and we ensure a safe and positive spectator experience for everyone who comes to our island. I know everyone involved will take that very seriously. And Ireland was going to host, obviously, the Euro 20 games, which got deferred due to COVID, and were put elsewhere. But we got a lot of strong collaboration between Department of Sport, Dublin City Council, and all of the from the policing aspect as well, on how we would host a game. So that know how is there, and obviously there'll be a lot of learnings from what happened in the Euros too.
Well, in Euros, and we know what happened in Lansdowne Road going back a long time now. In fairness, have you sought specific assurances from the FA in England about hooliganism before supporting this joint bid?
Well, the security and policing will be fundamental from an Irish perspective, and we'll obviously be ensuring that we've a safe spectator experience, and officials from my own department are centrally involved with all of the football associations and indeed on behalf of the Irish government in engaging in ensuring that we have a safe and positive spectator experience for all fans. And we take on board all the learnings between now and 2028.
They were taken aback at the Euros, despite the preparation they did, that hooligans did break the barriers and evaded intelligence and preparation beforehand. Now, are you just taking the learnings from reports that have been published, or have you sought specific assurances regarding hooliganism before it's brought to our door here?
Well, that's why there has been specialised security consultants involved in projecting the costs and the needs and the demands around hosting such an event. And that's why, from an Irish perspective, we want to ensure fans are protected and that we haven't, we, 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 we stop any hooliganism coming to our country. The majority, vast majority of fans who attend games, whether it's day-to-day matches here in Ireland at the moment or the hosting of a major event, want a positive spectator experience, and I want to ensure that in 2028.
If Aon O'Riordan of Labour, who said this money should be spent on grassroots and stadia and players and coaching and so on, and that you have to justify, the government has to justify any spend on security of an event like this. Do you have, first of all, a figure for that security cost?
So it could be between, initial figures are, it could be between 26 and 35 million. That would be the cost incurred on the particular year, but that will obviously be, there'll be a rolling assessment of that. Look, I have a lot of respect for Aidan, who's passionate about the grassroots game, as am I, about strengthening the league. And I share that ambition and about growing football and participation over the coming years. And I'm someone who started my first day playing any sport was football down in my local club, and I'm anxious to grow the game. And I agree with what Stephen Kenny said today, that we can host Euro 2028 and rebuild football, and they can coexist together. I think
can
it's important.
They, can they?
They absolutely can. And I suppose to put the proof on the table, the single biggest grassroots investment in sport happened over a month ago, €150 million from the government around the Sports Capital Programme.
Imagine what they could do with €150 million more.
Well, that's why the continued ambition in supporting grassroots sport and grassroots football is fundamental. And I think this is about, there'll be a lot of, this is in terms of our younger people and seeing the second biggest event in the world come to our island, the potential that can have for younger people who want to participate.
Convince people and enjoy of the benefit game. Though, but how much would it cost to upgrade the stadia?
So the stadia, it's quite minimal. So the Aviva is, it has, majority of the specifications are there because it was there was an investment for Euro 2020. And Croke Park, early projections are, could be about 10 or 12 million. But it's quite minor in the context of broader.
Have you counted in construction inflation?
There is, they have captured a construction inflation, and there is a contingency around inflation in all of the figures that we have we've included. Absolutely.
Okay, and some people are, for example, a range of texts on this. For example, Aon O'Riordan has no vision and no ambition for Ireland. That's one view from Luke. The tournament is a great opportunity to showcase Ireland and rebuild post Brexit relations with the UK. But there are other people who say, this country, along with all of Europe, will experience a recession after the Russian and Ukraine conflict. This government needs to look after its people and refugees as a priority and not a sporting event that could be extremely costly and of dubious benefit to the country. And that listener goes on, costly and of dubious benefit to the country when this money could be spent better in other areas, Minister?
Well, I think that's why we had a cost-benefit analysis, and as I said, I've dealt with the point around my ambition in investing in the grassroots game and strengthening our league and also building participation in sport and in football. And I absolutely, we're all want to do everything we can to support Ukrainian refugees who arrive on our island and support the humanitarian response, and we're doing that, and Minister Gorman is leading the response on that as well. And that's why we had a cost-benefit analysis, which is very clear on the significant return on investment. It's important that we obviously deal with the current problems of today, but also we look at the medium to long term, and attracting major events to Ireland in the medium term is fundamental to from an economic perspective, and seeing a return in investment and the potential growth that has and the impact it has on local economies. And I know from a tourism perspective, from an all-island perspective, building that cooperation on our shared island, sport can play a key role in building bridges and breaking down barriers. And as you said, building that relationship from a post-Brexit perspective. And I think sport has a huge role to play from that perspective as well. So Ireland is being absolutely sincere in our humanitarian response to the shocking war in Ukraine, but we're also trying to plan for our future.
You have money for all of it. That is basically
we're being prudent on in terms of the cost benefit analysis and ensuring that there's a strong return on investment. And the second biggest event in the world coming to our island, I think, underpins that.
Okay, and we'll pick at the cost benefit analysis at a later date when we've got the bid tomorrow clarified. Minister Jack Chambers, thank you very much indeed for joining us.